Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome and grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for us to gather here together as the people of God in God's house and to be invited into worship together. So welcome. Before we begin our worship, just a couple of announcements. There's many for you to read, but I just want to highlight a couple of those. The first being that Church Council will meet on this Tuesday evening at 7:30. We have a couple of important things on our agenda, one being the open job description, the open job position, and where we're going to go with that as we move forward. And the second being our mission dinner, which is taking place in October. Pam and Les Pepe have been sort of spearheading that, and as you know, Pam has had serious health issues recently. She did come home from the hospital just yesterday, so we give thanks to God for that, but she's not going to be planning the mission dinner, and I have told Les that very clearly. She is not planning the dinner, so we need to work together to figure out what steps need to be done. They've done a lot of groundwork, and I know there are some of you who are ready to step in, but we need a little planning all together to figure out how that's going to work. So, as always, church council meetings are open to all church membership, so I invite you to come if you're interested in being part of the discussion on either of those topics. And the other thing I just want to remind you is that Welcome Sunday is on September 8th. We'll gather and worship all together as a church family. And following worship, we will fire up the grill for some hot dogs and have some ice cream sundaes. And if you'd like to bring something else to go along with hot dogs and sundaes, salad or any other side, you are welcome to do that as well. Are there any other announcements? And before we listen to our prelude, I just want to welcome the grandmas and grandpas. We are thrilled to have you here as you come every summer, but especially grateful that Phil is here with us. And after his long road of recovery, every time I visited or talked to Phil, one of the main things he kept saying is, I got to get back to singing. So we give thanks to God for healing and for the gift of music and for the grandmas and the grandpas. So let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Oh, yeah. Let us rise for the call to worship.
God is our light and salvation. Whom shall we fear? Fear.
God is our shepherd and refuge in the days of trouble, and our hope and joy on the days of celebration.
Day after day, we seek God's face and the assurance of God's holy love.
O God, do not turn on us or hide your face from us. Be our guide and our light instead.
One thing we ask of God:
that we may live in God's dwelling place all the days of our life, and never cease to behold the beauty of God's home.
Beloved of God, enter this worship with thanksgiving, for God is among us and within us.
Thanks be to God.
Let us join together in the prayer of confession. God calls us in our lives to take a risk, to be like the woman who reaches out to Jesus for healing for herself, or the father who risks the scorn of others to bring Jesus to his dying daughter. Let us ponder for a moment the places in our lives where we may resist turning to God for healing and change. When we resist your call to open our hearts to allow your grace to enter, God have mercy. When we close our eyes to your new and unexpected possibilities of healing and reconciliation, Christ have mercy. When we let fear overwhelm us and cling to the security of what we know instead of risking new steps toward your freedom and justice, God have mercy. Let us lift our prayers of confession and silence to God. Hear these words of assurance. God's mercies are new every morning. In Christ, God offers forgiving grace and welcome into a community of trust, abundance, and hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. As forgiven and loved children of God, let us rise and share the peace of Christ. There's a little more room over here. I invite the children to come forward.
All right, good morning. Wow. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. So, good morning. Can you tell me some things in nature that change?
The color of the leaves?
How do they change? Grace Sinclair says she thinks she learned about this somewhere.
Something in the tree that like dies once it gets cooler, so they get
So the leaves turn brown because something in the tree dies. Do you think the tree says, no, I don't want to do this?
No.
No? I don't think so either. What else is there in nature that might go through a change?
Caterpillar.
A caterpillar. What does a caterpillar? Pastor Heather talked about this several weeks ago. About the caterpillar, what happens?
So the caterpillar eats the leaves, and then it wraps itself up in a cocoon, and then it makes itself a butterfly.
It makes itself a butterfly. Do you think the caterpillar says, "No, I don't want to be a butterfly"?
No,
I don't think so either. The leaves and the caterpillars are all changes that God orchestrated. God said, I'm going to make the world so it will change. It won't stay the same. Things will change. Do you think God wants us to go, no, don't change. Everything should stay the same.
No.
Say that really loud.
No.
No. But
no.
No. Emma, can you say no?
No.
No. I bet you're very good at it, just like my children are too. I like you very much, very much. Oh, did I scare you? I'm sorry. But sometimes it's change scares us a little bit. Sometimes change scares us a little bit. And sometimes change makes us feel yucky. And it's okay to feel yucky and to get scared and to be upset. It's okay to do that. It really is. I'm sorry, Emma. I didn't mean to scare you at all. I apologize. I was just being silly. I was just being really silly. I'm sorry. And sometimes it's okay to feel those feelings and to be scared and to be upset. But then what do you think God wants us to do when changes come in our lives, when we make changes?
Make the best out of it.
Yeah. What change do you have coming up very soon, like this week or next week?
School.
School. What happens? Why is school going to change for you? You're going into a new grade, a new school. Oh, some small changes, some big changes. Well, and I'm sure you've heard too that I'm going through a bit of a change myself. I'm going to a new school. I'll still be here. I'll still teach Sunday school and be with you, but I won't be here as much as I usually was during the week. You may not even see a change. But we might feel a little change. Our schedule might change. Who knows? Other things might change. We might change how we do Sunday school. We might change a little bit here and there. But do you think God said that that change was okay? Yeah, I think so too. And I think he wants us, like Sophia said, to make the best of it and to do the best with what we have and with what we can. And we never know, because God changes a caterpillar into a butterfly. Who knows? We never know what he might do with us, and a very beautiful change will come. So let's join hands and say a little prayer, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer. All right. Dear God, we thank you for change. And we thank you for the ability to grow.
Thank you for the ability to grow.
When change comes. Open our hearts. And open our minds. To receive all that you are giving us to learn.
To receive all you are giving us.
In this season of change.
In this season of change. Our Father.
Who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
watching for you and for me.
Come home.
Come home.
Good morning. Let's forward a little bit. Today's reading is taken from Hebrews, which contains various verses from chapters 11 and 12. It's from the New Revised Standard Version, and the reading entails all aspects of faith. We'll start with Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from the things that are not visible. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release, in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Now this is Hebrews 12, this last paragraph. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand at the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
invite you to remain seated for the gospel because it's a little long this morning, and I think we all listen better when we're a little more comfortable. So lift yourselves in spirits and open your ears to hear the word of God. In the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And so Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. Jesus strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, on this day that you have made, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our salvation. Amen. This summer, you have been submitting questions to me as starting points for my sermons, and I want to thank you for that. Your questions have been honest and heartfelt, and they're great conversation starters. And I know that your individual questions resonate with the whole of the congregation. And I hope that just because this was the structure for the sermon series, that the questions don't stop, that we continue to ask questions of each other, of me, questions that form how we live and study together as a people of faith. For there are deep questions at the core of our faith. Who are we? Who is God? What is our purpose? How are we to live as disciples of Jesus? Throughout Scripture, those who are called by God, from Adam and Eve to the patriarchs, the prophets, the psalmists, to the followers of Jesus, they all ask questions. Jacob wrestled, both physically and metaphorically, with God. He wrestled at a turning point in his life, and he was changed by the encounter. I know what Heather said about change, but I seem to think that probably Jacob, in the midst of that, was saying, "No, God, please don't do this to me." But in the end, ask God for a blessing. My prayer for us is that in the wrestling, in the search for answers, and the discovery of even more questions, we might draw closer to God and be changed. So today's question is a simple one, or so it seems. What is faith? Now, we can all have a million different answers to that question. For each person here, for each person of faith, there is a different answer. But personally, I cannot attempt to answer that question, what is faith, without recalling the words of a friend and a mentor of mine, the Reverend Lyman Taylor. He went by Bud, and Bud was a longtime missionary and a pastor who served many churches in this conference before retiring and becoming a resident of the United Methodist Homes in Shelton, which is where I met him. He was a quiet and faithful man who lived and died with humility and grace. And like any good preacher, he had his favorite thoughts and sayings that he repeated often. Not just to hear himself repeat these things, but because he truly believed them. They were truly the core of his faith, and he desired to share that good news at all times. And so in an article entitled "Methodist Beliefs, Some Reflections on Methodist Doctrines," Bud wrote these words that he often quoted. "Faith is not something you have. It is something you do." Jesus and his disciples were Jews. In their language, the word faith was a verb, not a noun. Technically, a verbal noun, a verb which took the position of a noun. Faith is not something you have. It is something you do. If you don't do it, it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as faith. There is only faithing, believing, trusting. If you don't do it, it doesn't exist. Take, for example, the woman in the Gospel of Mark. 12 years of bleeding. 12 years of searching for an answer, a cure, a healing. 12 years of not only physical anguish, but also ritual uncleanliness and social exclusion. 12 years is a long time to be in pain, a long time to be waiting and hoping. But she has heard of Jesus who can make the lame walk and the blind see, Jesus who stills storms and banishes demons, Jesus who preaches about seeds that fall on rocky soil and seeds that fall on good soil, and the mustard seed, the smallest seed of all, which sprouts and grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make the nest in its shade. And all of these things, even the smallest of the mustard seed, Jesus compares to the kingdom of God. So the woman has heard these stories, and she thinks to herself, "What have I got to lose? I've already lost everything. Why not risk the possible humiliation of reaching out to this amazing stranger? Why not at least touch the hem of his garment? Surely I'm not worthy to approach him to speak to him, but maybe, just maybe, a slight touch will get his attention." And so she makes her way through the pressing crowd and reaches out and felt his cloak. And immediately, Immediately, something changed inside her. She was healed. She was whole. Her life had been transformed by an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus notices the change in himself and in her. When Jesus finds her falling down with fear and trembling in awe of the presence and power of this healing spirit, his response to her is direct. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Your faith has made you well. Your faithing has made you well. This woman was healed not only because she believed in her head and in her heart, but because she acted in faith. She reached out. She strived for that which she could not see and believed that it would make a difference in her life. She sought that which would bring her healing and wholeness and closer in line with God and God's will for her life. Her faith was not only that moment of touching the cloak of Jesus. Her faith was in the years of waiting and searching and hoping. Her faith was the action that brought her to that moment and gave her the courage to take the next step. So often we believe that faith is something that we already possess. We were born into a faith tradition. We were baptized in the faith. We found faith in confirmation class or perhaps a lightning bolt moment at church camp or revival meeting. We grew in faith in a church community, a small group, or a Bible study. And faith is all of those experiences. Faith is generations of experiences, of strivings and yearnings of the people of God. But faith is not a one-time acquisition. Faithing, is a process, a growing, a transformation, a never-ending journey. In Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3 in the New Living Translation, just a little different than what Harry read us this morning, it says, faith is the confidence that what we have hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about things we cannot see. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. This faithful woman, and I wish that she had a name, but unfortunately, like so many other women in Scripture, she is nameless. Perhaps in a way that helps us to see a part of all of us in her. She had confidence that despite the struggles along her journey, there was hope for something better. She could not even begin to imagine complete healing, but she could hope for it, have faith in it, and reach for it. And she was assured that Jesus was the focus of her hope and her faithing. Jesus' response, your faith has made you well, seems too simple. For we all know of people, perhaps ourselves, who have hoped and prayed and waited for healing for a long time. And healing doesn't always come in the ways we imagine. The truth is this, there is fear and heartache, disease and death, pain and suffering. There are injustices that persist and violence that goes unchecked. Jesus calls us to step out in fear and trembling into faith, into a relationship that reaches beyond the here and now and into the future of hope and possibility. Physical healing may not come today, in 12 months or 12 years or ever. But healing by faith brings us, our loved ones, our neighbors, and dare we say even our enemies, those who stand on the other side of the fence or the other side of the aisle, into a right relationship with God in this life and in the life to come. Although I had read that passage from Hebrews several times this week, when Harry read it again this morning and we hear those words about people being sawn in half and persecuted and tortured, and I know pastors, myself included, who say, don't read that one when the kids are in church. We read all of that and we think, well, that was back then. But I have to pause and remind myself that there are those who are going through that persecution around the world today. There is so much going on in our nation and in our world. Acts of violence and persecution, racial discrimination, the separation of children and families, conflict in the churches, rainforests are burning. And under it all, an anger and an angst that, like hot lava, is pent up inside until it explodes in inappropriate and dangerous ways. We cannot simply believe that things will change and say our faith will make us well. Our faith, our faithing, must be active and vocal. Working and praying and resisting the evil and oppression and injustice that presents itself in so many forms, so that by the grace of God, there will be transformation. Although that long chapter in Hebrews recalls all of the sufferings and endurance of the people of faith, it ends with words of assurance and challenge. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. So friends, let us keep our eyes on Jesus in living and loving and faithing, reaching for Christ, for the grace and healing which he can provide to you, to your loved ones, to our neighbors, our enemies, to all of God's children. Amen. As we give thanks to God for all that God has blessed us with, we return a portion of those blessings so that we may together do the work of God in the church and the world. Our morning tithes and offerings will now be received. And I have to add before the grandmas and grandpas sing again that I think three of the songs that you are singing to us today are ones I thought of for this service today. So I thank you for the way that God works in all of us to bring that message of music.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
Heavenly Father, you have provided us with a family, friends, a home, and food to eat for each day. As you have been generous to us, we offer you these gifts as symbols of our gratitude for your kindness. Bless us, Father, with continued graces, blessings, and faith throughout each year. May these gifts multiply so that everyone in our community can benefit from them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we share our joys and concerns this morning, Don has a mic, and he is going to bring it around. I know that many of you don't like to use a mic or think you don't need a mic, but the mics help us to make a recording, and we do have several people who are receiving those recordings and really loving to hear every piece of the service. So if you would raise your hand, and Don will come to you with a mic when if you have a request, I guess we'll be...
And use the mic like you're ready to swallow it, and it gets it better.
Good morning. So I've heard that my friend Darylin, who I've told you about over the past couple of years, who has been fighting stage 4 mesothelioma, is very close to death. She doesn't want to go into hospice. She doesn't want to go into the hospital. So from what I understand, she's just home. And she has somebody who looks in on her from time to time, but she's just there and waiting. So prayers for Darylin. Heather and I do have a joy, which has now finally been announced, that she has accepted a position at Fairfield Country Day School, and she will be the new lower school K through 3 elementary school music teacher, and she's going to be also, they have a bell choir of all things. So she's going to be doing the bell choir and team teaching some of the upper school music classes as well. So it's a big job, but it's right up her alley. So big joy.
Yes, amen.
Thank you. I just want to say a couple of words on the theme of faith, and that is... for those of us who have children, and for all the children in the world, actually, that we have faith in them no matter what age they are, from the little ones going off to school for the first time all the way up to their senior year as young adults, and those who are going into college either the first time or re-entering as adults, all the way up to our adult children. We need to keep faith, as hard as it is to let go, that we can guide them and give them our love, and we have to trust in God that their decisions will be the right ones. Oh, also, thanks for the blessings we have of all the musicians in this church. Thanks to Martha this morning. Thanks to the grandpas and grandmas, or however they're called. And everyone, we really have an abundance of wonderful musicians we need to be thankful for.
Amen.
Do Just a joy to celebrate friendship. It was probably 10 days ago. I didn't mention it last week, but Sophia and Talia went out to visit their grandparents for a week and then were flying back, and it was a direct flight. They had passports. They had my mom and dad had the power of attorney, blah, blah, blah. So it was just easy Kansas City to LaGuardia, easy peasy. We get to the airport, and a 15- and 13-year-old girl got diverted to Norfolk, Virginia. And when they landed, five planes were there. The airport was shut down, and they were in a holding pattern for a five-hour thunderstorm with no money. Send your kids with debit cards. And I reached out to the lads who they were ready to come over and pick them up and take them home. And they haven't been here for 6-8 years, but we visited them. And just amen for friendship. They came, they got here at midnight, but everything was okay, but it was cool. Very cool.
Are there others in the back?
I'm in the wrong church, actually. My sister is speaking at a church in Westport, and I've got the wrong one. So I have to go home and find what church it is written down. So I'm sorry for the disruption.
No, we're glad that you're here.
Glad
sorry
to have
that you,
you
missed that, but we're happy to welcome you here. Are there others? Ask that you continue to pray for Pam Pepe, too. I spoke to Les yesterday. As I said, she had just come home from the hospital, but she does have a long recovery. And so pray for her and for the family as they support her in that recovery. Are there others? Then let us pray. God of wisdom and grace, you work for peace and for justice for all who are oppressed. And you call us to work with you to fulfill that purpose. We pray for the church and for all who work to bring justice to the oppressed. We pray for peace with justice among nations and religions and people, in communities and in churches. We pray for those suffering in places torn by war and natural disasters. We pray for those who are bent over by oppression, especially women and children and families in this nation and around the world. We pray for those living with long-term illnesses who are longing for healing, for relief. We pray for those facing surgeries and uncertain diagnoses. We pray for their families who wait with them and the medical staff who care for them. We pray for those whose time on this earth is drawing to an end. We pray that in these days they may find peace and know healing in the hope of eternal life. We pray for the church in this place and around the world that we might ease our conflicts and find a path into the future which keeps our eyes and our hearts ever on Christ. We pray for our children of all ages, for our children as they head back to school and the changes and the new opportunities that that brings, for our children who are stepping out on their own. We pray for children of all ages, that we may trust in you and trust in the guidance we have given them, that they make good choices in their lives and find a way of love and hope and healing. God of healing love, through Jesus Christ, you have come to us and shown us the way of renewal and restoration. Empower us now through the meeting of our faith and your grace, that we may do your work in the world and magnify your holy name. Amen. Let us rise and sing. Now let us go forth in faith, in faithing, in actively believing and doing the work that God has set before us, looking always to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen. You may be seated.